I wasn't happy with yesterday's shir. My fault. I wanted to speak about Baruch Shem Kol Machzul Yom Va'ed, and I never really did. We ran through something for the last 15 minutes. So before we get to Smichus Gula Tefillah, which is the primary topic of tonight's shir, I just want to make a few little hosafos, or maybe not a few little, one large hosafa to the sugya of Baruch Shem Kol Machzul Li'olam Va'ed. The Rambam that we read yesterday, and by the way, this entire presentation of what I'm going to say right now comes from Shiurei Harav, from Rav Soloveitchik Shiurim. Rabbi Gnack wrote up on Rav Soloveitchik Shiurim on Kriyas HaTorah and Tefillah. He wrote the largest of the Shiurei Harav books, I think. Maybe the Bas B'chol Tarovus one is the same size, I'm not sure, the one that Rabbi Konigsberg Shlita wrote up. Each one is written by somebody else. They're all of them except for Rabbi Gnack's are from Rav Schachter's notes. I think Rabbi Gnack's are from his own notes. The others are edited versions of Rav Schachter's notes from the Rav's Shiurim. So anyway, in Shiurei Harav, which you should be aware, there is a Shiurei Harav on Inyanim of Kriyas HaTorah and Tefillah, which is obviously going to be very nogea to a lot of the sugyas that we're going to be doing. He points out the Rambam that we saw last night in the first parak of Hilchos Kriyas Shema, Halacha Dalid. Now remember, the Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Kriyas Shema, Halacha Aleph through Gimel, described the three parshios of Shema, and he described why it's important to read three parshios of Shema, what we accomplish with three parshios of Shema, and finishes off Halacha Gimel with the statement that these three parshios, these are what's called Kriyas Shema. And then he discusses Baruch Shem Kol Machzul Yom Va'ed. In Halacha Dalid, he discusses Baruch Shem Kol Machzul Yom Va'ed, and he refers to Yaakov Avinu and how that Gemara in Pesachim, and how that's the source of why we say it. And he says, "Lefichach nog kol Yisrael lomar shevach sheshibach bo Yisrael hazakein achar pasuk zeh." That's where we developed the minhag to say this dvar shevach. Now, this din of saying Baruch Shem Kol Machzul Yom Va'ed, is a little bit strange, because it would seem that it's a hefsik right in the middle of Kriya Shema. It would seem that it's being mafsik between Shema and Via Hafta. To just add in a Dvar Shavach, as nice as it is to say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just because Yaakov said it, why is that make it okay to add it into to Kriya Shema? So, and the Pashtus in the Gemara is that it's a Shavach. Pashtus in the Gemara is that it has nothing to do with Kriya Shema. So that's what we were discussing last night a little bit. Is Baruch Shem Kol Machzul Yom Va'ed part of Kabbal Sol Machzul, or is it a separate Shevach? Pashtus in the Gemara is, as we pointed out last night, it sounds like a separate Shevach. The Rav, however, had four rayas that the Rambam holds that it's not a separate Shevach, but it's part of Kriyas Shema. Raya number one, he says, the Rambam quotes this in Halacha Dalid. After Halacha Gimel, where he says, these three parshios are what's called Kriyas Shema, then in Halacha Dalit he moves on to say, and by the way, there's also an idea of saying Baruch Shem Kol Machzul Yom Va'ed. If it was part of Kriya Shema, he would have included it somewhere in Halachas Aleph through Gimel, where he was going through the makeup of Kriya Shema. Second raya is, the Rambam goes on to say, that if after Amiras Baruch Shem Kol Machzul Yom Va'ed, what do you do after you finish saying that phrase? Rambam says, Chozer V'kore Kedarko. Go back to saying Kriya Shema. Go back to reading, you know, the originally scheduled program after you finish Baruch Shem Kol Machzul Yom Va'ed. Very strange lashon. If this is just another line of Kriya Shema, why would he say Chozer v'Korei Kedarko? That you go back in your Korei Kedarko and you read more. Very, very telling lashon. Furthermore, third raya, the Rambam goes on to say, Lefichach nahagu kol Yisrael lomar shevach sheshibach bo Yisrael hazakein achar pasuk zeh. The Rambam says, nahagu to say what? This shevach bifnei atzmo, that Klal Yisrael was knowing to say this shevach. Now, if it were part of Shema, it wouldn't be a Shevach, it would be Kabbal Zol Malch Shemayim. Shevach implies that it's not exactly Kabbal Zol Malch Shemayim. And even more so, the fact that he says Nahagu, not Takana, not anything relating to Nahagu. Nahagu implies, again, that it's a separate issue from Kriya Shema. And the truth is, it's Mashma and the Gemara that way a little bit as well. That it's a separate Inyan from Kriya Shema, because the Gemara B'sachim says that the Banav Shal Yaakov said Shema Yisrael, but Baruch Shem Kol Malchusel Yom Ved Yaakov said. So what, there were two different people speaking, it was two different speakers that said those two different lines. It makes it sound like the two lines are not so related to each other. But that of course just highlights the question. If it's a separate inyan, it's not part of Kriya Shema, it's not part of Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemayim, then why isn't it a hefsek? Why are we allowed to just add in a separate inyan right in the middle of Kriya Shema? Now he says, Ubi Yosu Yesh Litmoa, says the Rav, if you're going to say that Amiras Baruch Shem Kol Malch Sol Yom Ved is a Takanas Yaakov Avinu, and it's not Bechlal Chovas Kriya Shema, and the Mechayiv is just that anytime you say Shema Yisrael, there's a Mechayiv to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malch Sol Yom Ved. So, and that would mean, meaning, if you want to say, meaning he's anticipating what one would want to say in the Rambam. What would you want to say in the Rambam? That it's not part of Kriya Shema. What is it then? It must be that just like Yaakov felt like he needed to respond to Shema Yisrael with Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Ved, it must be that there's some chiyuv to respond to that pasuk Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Shem Echad with Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Ved. That the mechayiv of Baruch Shem is hearing the word Shema Yisrael or saying the word Shema Yisrael. Maybe you want to say that. Maybe you want to say that that's the word that nothing to do with Shema. But whenever there is a Shema Yisrael, whenever that phrase is used, you have to respond, Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Ved. So says Rav Soloveitchik, that can't be, because we say Shema Yisrael plenty of times without saying Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Ved. For instance, in Kedusha, we say Shema Yisrael in Kedusha Musaf on Shabbos, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Psukim in Malchios in Rosh Hashanah, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and no Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Ved. When do we insist? What's the only time we insist on saying Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Ved after Shema Yisrael? When we're trying to be yotzei in the midst of Kriya Shema. In fact, the poskim even write this. The Torah says explicitly in Karbanos when we say Shema Yisrael. So the Torah says, and you should say Baruch Shem Kavod then also, just in case you miss Zman Kriya Shema later and you need this for your Kriya Shema. It's mefurash that you're only going to say it if you're trying to be yotzei your mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So what's going on over here? How could on the one hand the Rambam be so clear that Baruch Shem Kvod has absolutely nothing to do with Kriya Shema, yet on the other hand it seems very clear that you're only chayiv to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ved when you're trying to be yotzei the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. When you say Shema Yisrael, not just b'toras kriyas pasuk Shema Yisrael or b'toras declaration Shema Yisrael, but b'toras mitzvahs Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael. So Rav Soloveitchik suggests that the machlokas we had yesterday may play a role in this. We saw machlokas yesterday in the poskim between the Levush and others. Magen Avraham quotes others that disagree with the Levush, Shilta Giborim and Riaz, others that disagree with the Levush, whether Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Ved is ma'akev. If you don't say Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Ved, or the Levush even says, if you don't say it with kavana, you're not yotzei the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So the Magen Avraham says the Levush has to be right, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins that be'emtza perek your shol b'shalom if you're out of yira and your meshiv shalom out of kavod, and even be'emtza pasuk except for Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Ved. So it sounds like Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Ved is very, very important. However, says the Gra, not however, but says the Gra, what's pshat? Why is it that we take Baruch Shem so seriously? So he says, to say Shema Yisrael, the Gra, the Bira Gra, the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch says, to say Shema Yisrael without Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Ved is Eino Ella Kisipur Dvarim Bialma. So what does that mean? Eino Ella Kisipur Dvarim Bialma. What do you mean? I'm saying Shema. Why is that Eino Ella Kisipur Dvarim? It's like you're telling stories. What does that mean? So the Beis Yosef, the Gra probably borrowed this Lashon from the Beis Yosef, because the Beis Yosef has Kimat the same Lashon, but with a little more Biur. As you know, the Biur HaGra, when he wrote his commentary in the Shulchan Aruch, he wrote almost nothing. He wrote the bare minimum. It was like he was being charged by the letter. Like he wrote very, very little. And there are many svarim that have been written in more modern times, more recent times, expanding on the Bir Agra and telling you what he really means when he says look there and trying to explain the Bir Agra. But the Beis Yosef writes, Kelomar, Dikasheino Omer Ela Shema Yisrael Levad, Nira Sheino Ela Sipur Devarim, Sheomrim Yisrael Kishe Miyachdim. Avul Kisha Omer Baruch Shem Kvon Malchzol Yolim Va'ed, Nirashu Mechavin Achshav Liached. Umishim Hachim Baruch Shem Kvon Malchzol. Essentially what he sounds like he's saying is that Shema Yisrael Shem Elkeinu Shem Echad is a phrase Jews use all the time. We use it to express that we're Jewish. We use it to express, you know, it became sort of a catchphrase. Not so much in modern times. But Beis Yosef says that it's become sort of like a way of saying, you know, yay God, I'm Jewish, hooray for Judaism, something like that. It became more of a catchphrase than a true Kabbalah Shel Malach Shemayim. And if you say Shema Yisrael without Baruch Shem Kol Malach Shel Yom Ved, it gives the impression that you're not necessarily being Mekabel Ol Malach Shemayim right now on the spot. When you add Baruch Shem Kol Malach Shel Yom Ved, it gives context to the Shema Yisrael. It's megala on your Shema Yisrael. That your Shema Yisrael was a Kabbalah Shel Malach Shemayim. Is Baruch Shem Kvod a Kabbalah Shel Malach Shemayim? Is it part of Kriya Shema? No, not necessarily. But it's the kind of Shevach that tells you that my Shema was a serious Shema. So says Rav Soloveitchik, if that's the Pshat, then it works out very well. The Rambam, we had all these rayas hold that Baruch Shem is not part and parcel of Kriya Shema. It's not Kabbalah Shel Malach Shemayim. Oh yeah, then why isn't it a hefsek? And if it's not Kabbalah Shel Malach Shemayim, why is it so important? Why are you not even Yotzei Kriya Shema without it, according to the Levush? Because it's not that it's important in its own right. It's about what it's megala. It's megala on Shema Yisrael, that Shema Yisrael is really a Kabbalah Shel Malach Shemayim. And without it, you've never megala that your Shema Yisrael is a true Kabbalah Shel Malach Shemayim. Memela, you're not going to be Yotzei Kriya Shema. And it's not going to be a hefsek because you need it to educate the Shema Yisrael, to educate us on what the Shema Yisrael was really all about. And he says, go back to the Gemara now. That Gemara, Maseches Pesachim, the Shakla Vitari of the Gemara. What kind of Shakla Vitari? A very strange Gemara. No, isn't it striking? The Gemara says, they weren't sure, what should we do about Baruch Shem Kvam Al-Ksal Yom Vayim? So the Gemara says, what weren't they sure about? Should we say it because what? Yaakov said it. Or should we not say it because Moshe didn't say it? What does that mean? Because Moshe didn't say it. And Avram and Yitzchak didn't say it either. Like, what is... Moshe didn't say it. What kind of... once Yaakov was misakin to say it, so what does that mean? Why didn't Moshe say it? So Soloveitchik said, whenever you talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, and he doesn't phrase it this way, but when you talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, you could talk about Moshe Rabbeinu in one of two contexts. And Moshe Rabbeinu in general is a complicated, very, obviously, very critical figure in Jewish history, but somewhat nuanced. On the one hand, you talk about Moshe Rabbeinu as leader of Klal Yisrael, as a very great Navi, as, a great man. On the other hand, you also have to, whenever you talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to look at Moshe Rabbeinu as the Moser HaTorah, the one who gave us the Torah. And that's why Moshe Emes V'Sarasso Emes, the Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu Bas Baklaria Meira, all of that relates to Moshe Rabbeinu as the one who gave us the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu's ability to give us the Word of God as is, Pel Pea Daber Bo, that's Moshe Rabbeinu as the Moser HaTorah. Right? That Pel Pea Daber Bo is telling us that no other Navi was able to get word for word from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every other Navi got a vision and they interpreted their vision and wrote down what they thought the vision meant. Moshe Rabbeinu got word for word. That's Moshe as the Moser HaTorah. So says Rav Soloveitchik, should we, the Gemara is talking like this, should we say Baruch Shem Malach Shel Yom Ved, Yaakov said it, or should we not say it? Not because Moshe the person didn't say it, but Moshe the Moser HaTorah didn't give this over as part of Kriya Shema. Meaning when Moshe Rabbeinu gave us Kriya Shema, he didn't have Baruch Shem Kol Malach Shel Yom Ved. So what do? We say it belachash. We say it quietly. Right? So normally, what kind of compromise is that? It's like a secret? You're still saying it. How does that solve the problem? Who are you fooling? When you say it quietly, of course you're still saying it when you say it quietly. So he says, no, the point was, the concern was that it's not part of Kriya Shema. But what do? We say, no, we need to say it just to give it context. We're not going to say B'toras Kriya. Things you say B'toras Kriya should be said out loud. So we're not going to say B'toras Kriya. We're dafka going to say it just as being Megala on our Shema Yisrael. To show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our Shema Yisrael was a Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim. And that's why it's a proper solution. We can't say it B'toras Kriya, because B'toras Kriya doesn't belong. It's not part of Kriya Shema. But what do we say it? We say it B'toras, letting us know that the Shema Yisrael was a Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim. And that's why we say it quietly. A beautiful insight into how to read that Gemara in Maseches Pesachim. Okay, so that was I just felt badly about last night. So now we're going to move on to tonight's topic. And I left 45 minutes for tonight's topic, so we're still good for tonight. Yeah.
Sorry, just in the Baruch Shem, so the Hilchasa, when we're saying Baruch Shem, do we have mitzvah turtles come on? Or should we think that this is part of Krishma, or should we not say that? Should we not be thinking that's part of Krishma?
Well, you're having Kavanah to be Yotze Kavol Zol Malach Shemayim. You know, have Kavanah for Kiddush HaMilun to be Yotze Kavol Zol Malach Shemayim. There are poskim, by the way, that point out that suggest that when it comes to Shema Yisrael, you must say that out loud, because otherwise, Baruch Shem quietly doesn't mean anything. I mean, the whole point is to show that Baruch Shem, meaning according to Rav Soloveitchik's Vart, what's the point? When we say Baruch Shem quietly, we're showing that we're not doing it B'toras Kriya. So that's why we dafka say it quietly. Well, how are you megala that you're not doing a b'toras kriya if your whole kriya is quiet? So that's why I say at least Shema Yisrael to create that contrast between Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem, to say the Shema Yisrael out loud and the Baruch Shem quietly. Okay, it struck me as I was reading this sefer, Rabbi Ganak sefer, that I was thinking about the Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik that wrote svarim on sugyas and brachos. You have Rabbi Yonatan Sachs, who we've quoted, Rabbi Mordechai Willig, who we're going to quote tonight. You have, obviously, Rabbi Ganak. Rabbi Shechter has tons of stuff in Sugyas and Brachas that he's written, no particular sefer. And you look around for the Yeshiva Shesvarim. See if you find any good Yeshiva Shesvarim. I mean, the Stipler wrote on everything, so that doesn't count. Find Yeshiva Shesvarim, people who didn't write on everything, on Brachas. It doesn't exist, pretty much. Rabbi Soloveitchik really is, I think, one of the, in one of the Spadin, for Soloveitchik after he passed away, they pointed out that one of his unique contributions to Jewish learning was that the reason the Briskers learn Kutchin, the reason the Briskers learn things that are not Nogei Lemaisa, is because Brisker learning is very, very dangerous. It's very risky, because you come up with these Gvaldika, Tzvedinim, and these Chakiras, and when it has to actually play out in Halacha, so then that's where you go all wrong, because not every chiddush that you say is going to work and play out in halacha. So that's why the Briskers dafka stick with kachim, because they don't have to worry about halacha. You can be as creative as you want, and it doesn't have to end up to play out in halacha. So one of Rav Soloveitchik's unique abilities was to apply the Brisker derech to a mesechta like brachos. Every sugi is halacha lemaisa. And it worked. And it worked in the halacha. All the yardside shirim, go through shirim l'zech Rabbi Mari, one after the other. They're all in yanim of Maseches Brachos. Unbelievable. That's the Brisker Derech to the nth degree. And being miyashiv every Rabbi, all plays out in halacha. That was a tremendous, it's an underrated contribution to Jewish learning that I don't think so many people realize. Okay, so moving on now. Svich School of Tfilah. So the primary sugya, of course, is Dalet and Beis, where the Gemara over here has some very important things to say. The Gemara tells us that, and there are a few lines before the lines get wide, Amar Kori Kriya Shema Mispalel. So Mesayda the Rabbi Yochanan, Dom Rabbi Yochanan, Ezu Ben Olam Haba, Zeh Asomik Lul Tfilah Shel Arvis. So that's, again, first of all, it jumps off the page, the graphic language, where there's a halachic gemara, it's not an agarita gemara. And in a halachic context, we say, who's a ben olam haba? Someone with some chulul tefillah. So all the Rishonim jump on it, of course, because it jumps off the page. Why is a halachic gemara using such a graphic language of a ben olam haba? Rabbi Shur ben Levi Omer, tefillos be'emtza tiknum. Rabbi Shur ben Levi says, no, The tefillos are in between the Kriyat Shemas. We make a Kriyat Shema sandwich during the day. Kriyat Shema is at the beginning, Kriyat Shema is at the end, and the tefillos are all in between. Which means that Maariv, you're not going to be so much a little tefillah, because your Kriyat Shema with the brachos is going to be after your tefillah. It's going to be at the end. Which obviously relates to Tosos Beis Amud Aleph, right? That's what Tosos was talking. This is what Tosos was talking about when Rashi says that how are we yotzei our mitzvah of Kriyat Shema by Kriyat Shema Lamita? So it says Tosos, but wait a second, how could you be yotzei with Kriyat Shema Alamita, your mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? How could you possibly be yotzei if we paskin that you need smichus gula tefillah by Maariv also? So good. So it says Gemara b'maika miflugi. So what's the machlokas here? Two possibilities. Psukim they're arguing about, they're arguing in Svara. Iba Yisema Svara, we go with the Svara first. Even though we start Iba Yisema Kroi, Iba Yisema Svara, we go with the Svara first. Not sure why. Do we always do that? I don't know. It just struck me now. At a Bar Ilana. What?
The Gemara says that Svara is arguing Kroi, no?
Yeah, but does the Gemara always do that? When it says Iba Yisema Kroi, Iba Yisema Svara, always go with the Svara first? Yeah, so it's interesting, because the Gemara says, Lamali kras svaruhu. The Gemara has such an expression sometimes that lamali kras svaruhu. But then the Gemara has another expression milsa daasi bekal v'chomer taruch v'kasav lakra. Kal v'chomer is svara supercharged. It's a very great svara. That's what kal v'chomer is. It's a glat svara. So sometimes we have lamali kras svaruhu, and sometimes we have milsa daasi bekal v'chomer taruch v'kasav lakra. So Rishonim already deal with that there's better svaras and worse svaras. You know, there are better kalvachomers, worse kalvachomers. Not every svara is created equal. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, so what's the machlokas in svara? What was going on in the night of Geula? So the night before Geula, you know, there was a festive atmosphere. It was the night before camp ends. You know, it was whatever. For some people, the night before camp begins, I guess. You know, there was a festive atmosphere. It was like, you know, you're getting out of there. If you don't like camp, the night before camp, you know, it's over, it's whatever. And you know that Geula is knocking on the doorstep, but it's not actual Geula yet because they weren't actually out. The real Geula happened in the morning. Rabbi Shub and Levi Savar, Kivin de Lohava, Ele Mitzafra, Lohavya Geula Ma'al Yisa. Rabbi Shub and Levi says, nah, the real Geula is only in the morning. So it's not really Geula Ma'al Yisa. So what are they arguing about? Really nothing. They both agree that the geula would happen in the morning, and nighttime was like chatzi chatzi, you know, it wasn't really a geula. So they just argue, is the half geula experience, is the geula feeling we had at night, is that enough to be mechayev smichus geula tefillah at night? But that's what it seems that they're arguing about, which is a strange thing to argue, meaning it's like a judgment call. You know, everyone agrees that it's not the same, but do you still have... Is it enough? Which is a very non-lumdish way of having a machlokas. You know, we would like to put some more defined, you know, halachic terminology into this machlokas, other than, feels right, or, nah, not so much. That's what it sounds like when you just read the Gemara. Okay, Rabbi Willi will save the day later. Viva Yisei Makra. The other possibility is that they're arguing in how to read a pasuk. Ushneim Mikra Echad Darshu. They're both the same pasuk. Shachkav Kumecha. Rabbi Yochanan Savar Makis Shchiva Lekima Makima Kriyas Mavachar Kach Tefila Af Shchiva Nami Kriyas Mavachar Kach Tefila. Meaning, we're supposed to do things at night the same way we do things during the day. They both agree. That's what the pasuk is telling us. Question is, what do they mean by the same? What does the Torah mean by the same when it says the same way we do things during the day? Is it that just like during the day we have smich school of tefila, so too at night we should have smich school of tefila? Or maybe no. Maybe it means that just like by day, Kriyat Shema, is the first thing we say when we get up, so it's the closest thing to our beds. So to at night, Kriyat Shema should be the closest thing to our beds. What's that machlokas about? Meaning, they're arguing about fundamentally what makes Kriyat Shema special. Is what makes Kriyat Shema special its proximity to Geula? I'm sorry, to Tefillah? Or is what makes Kriyat Shema special the fact that we do it when we're getting up, when we're going to sleep, the fact that it's close to our beds? Kriyat Shema and Geula by extension, right? So why would you say one way or the other? Why? What's the svara? Meaning, what does that mean? Why would Kriya Shema be more special if it's close to Tefillah? Or on the flip side, why would Kriya Shema be more special if it relates to getting up and going to sleep? Well, the truth is, getting up and going to sleep makes a lot of sense. Which of these drashas is more mistaver in the pasuk? My pasuk says Shachav Kamecha. So the one that says close to your bed really makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? That's the mechayev of Kriya Shema. Waking up and going to sleep is the mechayev of Kriya Shema. That's how we determine the zman Kriya Shema. That's what Kriya Shema is all about. It's you wake up, you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Kriya Shema. You go to sleep, it's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your lips. Why would you say it has to be smich school of tefillah? That's what makes Kriya Shema special. So this already leads us into the chakira that we have to think about as you go through every single rishon in this sugya. Everyone agrees there needs to be something called smich school of tefillah, at least by shacharis. Machlokas in this Gemara, whether you need it by Marav also. But everyone agrees at least by Shachas it speaks Kulu Tzvila. So the Chakira that the Achronim have is why. What is it about Smich Kulu Tzvila? We know we have a Chiv of Kriya Shema and a Chiv of Tzvila. Let's assume. We don't yet know that we have a Chiv of Tzvila. But let's assume we have a Chiv of Tzvila. Chiv Kriya Shema, Chiv of Tzvila. Smich Kulu Tzvila, does that make our Tzvila a better Tzvila because of its proximity to Gula, to Kriya Shema? Or does smicha school of tefillah make our geula a better geula because of its proximity to tefillah? And of course, you always have a third possibility, that it's both, that each one enhances the other. But if you're going to say that smicha school of tefillah means that your kriya shema is a better kriya shema as a result of its proximity to tefillah, so then I'll understand, b'shachlav kamecha, you're going to darshan, that you want to say the best kriya shema possible. That it's a drush in the pasuk about Kriya Shema. Just like I do Kriya Shema in the morning really well, so too I should do Kriya Shema at night really well. That the drush in Kriya Shema is to make a really great Kriya Shema. And what's great about Kriya Shema? Not the fact that I say when I wake up or I go to sleep. That's the timing of Kriya Shema. But what makes Kriya Shema qualitatively better? Having it samach l'tefillah. Following it up with tefillah makes it qualitatively better. Why? Okay, we'll have to get to that. If you look in Rashi, so Rashi discusses also Dibra Maskel Zeh Somech. He discusses this notion of smich school of tefillah and why we do it. Says Rashi, V'amrin bebrachus Yerushalmi. What's Yerushalmi? It's not his own. Mi she'eno somech kulu tefillah l'mahu domeh. Someone who's not smicha gula l'tefila, you know, started a few lines before that. Usmichas gula l'tefila, Ramza David b'sefer Tilim, d'chsiv Hashem tzuri v'goali, v'samach le'yancha Hashem b'yom tzara. David HaMelech already alluded to smicha gula l'tefila in Tehillim, because he says Hashem tzuri v'goali, gula, yancha Hashem, Hashem answers you b'yom tzara. When do you have a chiv to daven according to every Rishon? Be'y tzara. Right, this vada yachiv d'arayis to daven be'y tzara. So David HaMelech says, Hashem Tzuri V'Goali, Yanuch Hashem B'Yom Tzara, so that's Geula and Tefillah. One is in Tilim Yotes, and the other is in Tilim Chaf, not by accident, that they're back-to-back in Tilim. Geula followed by Tefillah. V'amrin b'brachas Yerushalmi, Misha eino somech l'ula Tefillah, l'ma l'dome. So then he gives a mashal. Yerushalmi says, if you're not somech l'ula Tefillah, you say Geula without following it up with Tefillah, then it's ki'ilu, you knock on the door of a melech, and you, you know, what do they call it? There's like a kids play a game. When they ring the doorbell and they run away? Ding-dong-ditch, right. That's it. Right? So you're playing a game of ding-dong-ditch with the Ribon Shalom. You're saying Geula. Kodesh Baruch Hu can come to the door and you'll be like, ha-ha, he came to the door, and he'll be angry at you and then he'll do all sorts of terrible things, you know. And that's not good. So that's why you need to be somewhat Geula Tefillah. So, okay. 2 days in Rashi. Now, do you see the chakira in Rashi? Do you see this chakira of the of is it a din in the geula or a din in the tefillah? So Rabbi Willick suggests, well, you see in the second ayah, let's take the mashal first because it's easier to relate to. What's the purpose of the interaction with the king? Why does one go to the king's door? What's he looking to accomplish? Is he looking to accomplish knocking really nicely? Or is he looking to accomplish the actual conversation? And it's just that you need to knock really nicely in order to accomplish getting the actual conversation. Right? Obviously, the ikar is the conversation. It's just that nothing's gonna happen without knocking nicely first. So it would seem that the geula makes the tefillah better, makes the tefillah more meaningful, more impactful. Or you could say, no, that's not what Rashi's saying. What the Yerushalmi is saying. The Yerushalmi is saying the opposite. It's that the geula makes no sense without tefillah. You think about the mashal again. A conversation is meaningful wherever you have it. Knocking on someone's door doesn't make sense if you're not going to wait for them to answer it, and you're not going to talk to them. It just doesn't make sense. It's not a normal interaction. So geula has no significance. It's robbed of its significance without the tefillah. Tefillah would have been significant no matter how it would have happened. If you have that conversation at the end of the day, it would have been significant. So depending how you read Rashi, do you read Rashi as being about what's the purpose of this encounter? What's the ikar of the encounter? Or do you read Rashi about how the two actions relate to each other? Which one needs the other? Which one creates the other? Which one makes the other one happen? So I'm not sold, really, one way or the other, whether this Rashi's a raya that it's a din in geula, or a raya that it's a din in tefillah. What about from the Pesukim? Do you see anything in the Pesukim? Hashem tzuri v'goali, and then yancha Hashem b'yom tzara. Is that a raya one way or the other, whether it's din tefillah, din geula? So Rabbi Willick thinks it is. I just don't see it. Again, I don't see how. I don't see. I just see the words goali and Sarah. Okay, good. But how does that tell me which one is Zikr? I don't really chap how that one would be a giveaway. The one I didn't see that Achronim talk about until the Stipler did half of it, spoke half this out. But I thought Rabbeinu Yonah was a very clean, Rabbeinu Yonah's two deus was a very clean way of showing how it could either be a din in the Geula or a din in the Tefillah. Because what does the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah say? He's bothered by the kasha of why do we say you're like a ben olam haba if you're somebody who tefillah? What does that have to do with ben olam haba? But in that context, he gets us working on what's so special about somebody who tefillah. So his first day is, he quotes in the name of Mori Harav, in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah, that the reason he gets such great schar is because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, that created a sense of avdus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avadai heim asher hotzesia osa me'aretz Mitzrayim. In the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael, we mention this great chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was goel us, and we follow that up with a tefillah. Meaning, we show that we are a full eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that an eved who has a master is chayiv lasos mitzvos rabo, has to do the mitzvos of his master. And he's makir tov to his master. So essentially, what we're highlighting is why are we summit geula l'tefila? Because geula is how we became avadim, and tefila is an expression of how an eved relates to a rav, how an eved relates to a master. That's day number one, Rabbeinu Yonah, that it's a sign that we understand that we are avdei Hashem. Day number two, he says, is that, yeah?
I mean to be cold, but I still think that, I mean, the way I read the Rabbeinu is he's still highlighting that as more in Geula, because he's saying, why have you been
on? I don't disagree in that part of Rabbeinu. I didn't yet plug it in. Let's just see what Rabbeinu says. So Rabbeinu on the first day, that it's Eved Hashem. And first of all, you could argue with a little more, you know, tell me I'm wrong. It's okay. I've been wrong before, probably in the last 3 minutes. You know, it's okay. The Rabbeinu Yonah's second daya is that the whole idea of Smith School of Tefillah is an exercise in bitachon. Tefillah is an exercise in bitachon. Rishonim write this way, other than Rabbeinu Yonah also. Bala Ikram writes this way. Rabbeinu Yerucha maybe. I don't know, some of the lesser known, you know, the more obscure Rishonim write this way. That tefillah is an exercise in bitachon. How is tefillah an exercise in bitachon? Because if I need help, if let's say I need money, I don't go to a beggar on the street and say, listen, do me a favor, buddy. I really need some money. Why? Because I know he can't help me. If I need refuah, I don't go to my lawyer friends. I go to my doctor friends and ask them who they know, what they could... When you ask for something from somebody, that's a way of saying that I believe you have the power to give this to me. Right? That's... So when we daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we ask him for everything, for refuah and parnasa and all the good things, chachman, everything, geula, everything, that's our statement that yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we believe you can give all of this to us. We have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, what does it have to do with geula? Because where did our bitachon come from? Our bitachon was built on Yetzias Mitzrayim. Our trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu was built on Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it gives context to the tefillah. Ah, the tefillah is supposed to be this great exercise in bitachon. So what do? We talk about geula first. We talk about where that bitachon came from. So speaking about geula right before tefillah makes our tefillah so much more impactful. Because now our tefillah is really, it's really about genuine bitachon and comes from somewhere. So I think it works out fairly well. Rabbeinu Yonah's first idea is that it's about being an eved. The whole thing is about being an eved. Davening doesn't show that you're an eved necessarily, but it's a great follow-up to a declaration that you're an eved. You say, I'm an eved. You know, when you say, you talk about Geula, it's all about Avdus. Geula was where the Avdus came from. That, I became an Eved Hashem when I left Mitzrayim. And then I daven to show how an Eved talks to his master. But the Iker is Geula. And the Tefillah enhances the Geula. It enhances my declaration of Avdus. But the second day in Rabbeinu Yonah is that it's not about Avdus. It's about Bitachon. And tefillah has to be bitachon. That's his big chiddush, his big yesod. Tefillah is an exercise in bitachon because you only ask for things from someone you trust can give it to you. So when you start with where that bitachon came from, it gives a little more oomph to the tefillah. It gives a little more meaning to the tefillah. Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not just lip service that I say that I believe you can give this to me. I know you've done it before. You took us out of Mitzrayim and you gave us parnasa and our health and clothing and saved us and children and everything. You did it. You gave us all those things. And that's where our bitachon comes from. So now my tefillah is so much more impactful, so much more meaningful. So I thought Rabbeinu Yonah, better than all the other Rishonim, I thought, works out with two dais that really, you know, really work on that chakira of the geula and tefillah. Steinitz just showed me before. I didn't know. Stipler talks about this. The Stipler has other rayas. You know, about Smith School, whether it's din the Gula or din the Tefillah. Just for example, I'll give you one of them. Stipler writes that a Talmud Chacham Yakar Echad, a very special Talmud Chacham, wrote a letter to him where he brings a raya from a different Rabbeinu Yonah, Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. Where he writes, that which Rishonim said about the minog shekorin kriyashma birchoseha umispalin arvis mi ba'od yom. Right, when you daven marav early with kriyashma and the brachos. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes, umi sherotz lahachmir, if someone wants to be machmir, to daven with the tzibur and to be mekayim smich skul tfila, ispal ima tzibur l'shem nidava. So be mispal l'shem nedava, and then afterwards be mispal l'shem chova, and he says some switch the girsa. Yispal l'shem chova, and then afterwards l'shem nedava. Ve'ein sarach l'chadish badavar, and you need not be mechadish anything the second time around. Like any tefillas nedava does require a chiddush. You can't just say it's tefillas nedava. You need to be mechadish badavar. Someone's just asking me in the base medrash, what defines a chiddush? A chiddush davar in tefillah. Whatever it is, you have to be mechadish whatever, something new. There has to be some element, some added element into your tefillah. So he says, apparently, if you initially didn't have smichas kulu tefillah, and then you do smichas kulu tefillah, that's a chiddush davar. That alone is a chiddush davar. So if smichas kulu tefillah is a din in the tefillah, so I understand why that could be called a chiddush davar in the tefillah. I didn't have smichas kulu tefillah before, now I'm doing it again, but with smichas kulu tefillah, I've been mechadish something in my tefillah. But if smichas kulu tefillah is only a din in the geula, it's not a din in the tefillah. So what do you mean you've been mechadish in your tefillah? No, you weren't. By juxtaposing it with geula, you were mechadish in your geula. But you need to be mechadish in the tefillah. That's the real din, to be mechadish in the tefillah. So that's one of the Stipler's rayas. It's very nice rayas. Okay, we're not going to have time to get into all of them. He has very nice rayas. So Rabbi Willig in Am Mordechai, in Siman Dalet, Os Beis, points out that this chakira answers some very fundamental questions. For instance, I'll say the question first, then we'll develop the whole yisod that he develops. The question he asks is as follows: if you're in a shul and you find that tzibur is davening, you come late to shul. Never happens, but let's say come late to shul Marv and they're up to Shmon Esrei. Should you say Shmon Esrei with them and then say the Birchus Kriyas Shema, Kriyas Shema, or should you start from the beginning? Or what about by Shacharis? You come late, they're up to Shemon Esrei. Really late. They're up to Shemon Esrei. So what do you do? So he writes, Shulchan Aruch, Reish Lamed Vav Siv Gimel. Is that by Mariv, we say that the Smichas Gula Tefillah is, the Tefillah, B'tzibor, is more important than the Smichas Gula Tefillah. By Mariv, Davin Shemon Esrei with them, and then say the Birchus Kriyas Shema L'Shema. By Shachris, you can't say Shema, is Smichas Kulu Tefillah is more important than Tefillah B'Tzibur, by Shachris, so do the Smichas Kulu Tefillah. My high. Why? Once we're paskening that you need Smichas Kulu Tefillah by Mariv, so why is one more important than the other? Why is Smichas Kulu Tefillah more important than Tefillah B'Tzibur by Shachris and not by Mariv? Furthermore, Mishabura writes, on Rosh Chodesh, I'm sure you've seen this done, right before Shemon Esrei, they scream out, Yalla V'yava! Right? Is that a hefsek between Gula and Tefila? Probably. Sounds like a hefsek between Gula and Tefila. They scream out, Yalla V'yava. So Mishbura writes that there's a difference between Mariv and Shachris. At Mariv, you could scream Yalla V'yava. At Shachris, a clap, and that's it. No saying Yalav Yavo. Okay, so that's kasha number two. Kasha number three, I don't think Rabbi Willig expresses exactly, but the Gemara that we read before, in Dalet and Beis, everyone agrees to the Metzias. They agree that there was some form of Geula at night, but that it wasn't the full Geula. What are they arguing about? Where do you need Smichas Geula Tefillah at night? So Rabbi Willig says as follows. He says, only by a geula chashuva is there a need to enhance the geula. But for a tefillah, you always should enhance the tefillah. Meaning, apparently geula has two different levels. There's nighttime level of geula and daytime level of geula. Daytime level of geula is geula chashuva. Nighttime level of geula, it's not really as much. Which geula are we going to work on to make sure it's enhanced and it's the best geula possible? Only the daytime one. Everyone agrees that the nighttime geula doesn't need to be enhanced by being juxtaposed to tefillah. Aye, so why is there a day in the Gemara that says you need to do smichas kulu tefillah even at night? Because tefillah always needs to be enhanced. And if geula enhances tefillah, so then every chance you get to make geula enhance tefillah, take advantage of it. Let the geula enhance the tefillah. So he says, it turns out that at Shacharis, when you're doing Smichas Kulu Tefillah, you are enhancing both Geula and Tefillah. Because it's a Geula Chashuva that needs enhancement by being juxtaposed with the Tefillah, and it's a Tefillah that needs to be enhanced by being juxtaposed with Geula. But by Mariv, when you're dealing with a Shvach HaGula to begin with, you don't need to enhance it by putting a tefillah next to it. It's a Shvach HaGula. Just say it. It's good enough. But the tefillah by Mariv, the tefillah should still be enhanced by putting Gula next to it. So if that's the case, and that's really what's going on in this Gemara, that they both agree Gula is not... The shita that holds, don't do smich skula tefillah, my marav holds, smich skula tefillah is a din in the geula. And for a din in the geula, there's no sense in doing smich skula tefillah by marav because it's shvach geula. And the shita that says, yes, do smich skula tefillah by marav will say, I agree, it's a shvach geula. And it doesn't need enhancement. But you know what does need enhancement? The tefillah needs enhancement. And that's the day that we paskin like. So we do smicha skula tefillah at Marav, but not for the gula, only for the tefillah. So mela, all the kashas are answered. You go into a shul, and you have a choice of tefillah, betzibur, or what? Or smicha skula tefillah. What is tefillah betzibur? An enhancement of tefillah. Can you be yotzi tefillah without tefillah betzibur? Absolutely. I think that's our next year's tefillah betzibur. Okay, I think that's Monday's topic. Rav Shechter likes to call it tefillah betzibur is the icing on the cake. It's not the cake; it's the icing on the cake. The cake is the tefillah. That's the basic requirement. Tefillah betzibur is the enhancement of the tefillah. So you go into Marv and you have your choice. I could do smich skula the tefillah, or I could do tefillah betzibur. Which is it's one enhancement of the tefillah versus another enhancement of the tefillah. Which is a better enhancement of the tefillah? Apparently, tefillah betzibur. So we say daven betzibur, and you'll say the Birchus Kriyas Shema later. But you go into Shachris, and they're up to Shmona Esrei. So now it's not just I have two ways to enhance my tefillah. If I do smich skula tefillah, I will enhance both my tefillah and my Birchus Kriyas Shema, my geula. But if I go to tefillah betzibur, I'm only going to be enhancing my tefillah. So that's why by Shachris it's a no-brainer. You go to Smich School of Tefillah because that way you'll enhance both the Gula and the Tefillah. By Mariv, you're only going to be enhancing the Tefillah. So go with the better enhancement, Tefillah B'tzibur. By Shachris, you're enhancing both with Smich School of Tefillah, and therefore you go to Smich School of Tefillah. I thought it was brilliant. No? Gary, did I sell you on it? Yeah? You weren't talking to it before.
Okay.
But those are those halachos. How the halachos work in?
In the yisod, it works.
Yeah, the halachos work beautifully. So you don't buy the yisod. You don't buy the yisod. Okay. All right. So that's the ikar of what I wanted to discuss. But we can't discuss smich skula tefillah without discussing all the times where we seem to violate smich skula tefillah throughout our tefillos. We have all sorts of violations of smich skula tefillah, some of which are dealt with by the Gemara. Some by Rishonim, and some by later Rishonim, early Achronim. So, number one, you have the Gemara deals with. The Gemara says, we didn't get to that part, but the Gemara says, Hashkivenu, right? The Gemara says, what do you do about Hashkivenu? So, the answer to any of these questions about, you know, isn't this a break between Smich School? Isn't this a violation where you're putting something else in between? The answer is always going to have to be that which you're putting in between is Gu'ula Arichta or Tefillah Arichta. You have to say either, no, that's part of the Geula. That's an extension of Geula. Or you go the other way and you say, no, that's an extension of Tefillah. Like, for instance, the Gemara says, Hashem Svasai Tiftach, what's that? K'tefillah Arichta Damya. That's an extension of the Tefillah. That's obviously an extension of the Tefillah. You're saying, Hashem, let me daven. Good. So that's obviously an introductory phrase to davening. So the Gemara says, Hashkivenu is Gu'ula Arichta. Hashkivenu is Gu'ula Arichta. So it's easy to say that Hashkivenu is Gu'ula Arichta, but Rabbeinu Yonah points out it's harder to understand what makes Hashkivenu Gu'ula Arichta. Meaning, Hashem Svasai Tiftach, that was a no-brainer, right? That's about Tefillah. Hashem, open my mouth, let me daven. Hashkivenu's got nothing to do with Gu'ula. What's Hashkivenu about? Look at the words, right? I think I have a Marv on me. I don't want to try to say it by heart and then get it wrong and embarrass myself. Hashkiveinu Hashem Elokeinu l'shalom v'amideinu malkeinu l'chayim. Give me peace and life. V'frosed leinu sukkah shlomecha and more peace. V'sakneinu beitzatov milfanecha and good ideas. V'oshienu and save me l'man shemecha for your sake. And protect me and get rid of Oyev, Dever, Cherev, Ra'av, Yagon, Hasar, Satan, Mufanen, Meacharen. Get rid of all the bad things that could hurt me. Protect me, because you know why? You are Shomreinu Matzileinu Ata. You're the one that protects, you're the one that saves us. Because God, you're such a nice guy, you always help us out. So help us out, save me. What's that got to do with Gula? That's a classic bakasha. It's a classic bakasha for protection, for help of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Nothing to do with Gula. So, again, Rabbeinu Yonah, Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. And this is, I happen to have enjoyed this passage, Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, a lot. Of course, I can't find it, but. Source number 5. V'af al gav tzarech lomar ashkivenu b'gu'ula k'gu'ula arichta damya v'atam she'enu avsaka m'nei she'ashkivenu me'in ha'gu'ula hu. It's part of gu'ula. Why? She'b'shah she'avar Hashem lingof es Mitzrayim ha'yu mefachadin u'mespalulin l'borei l'kayim devaro. He says, what makes it part of gu'ula? Not because thematically it's the theme of gu'ula that we're talking about gu'ula, but that it reminds us. It's reminiscent of our emotions at the time of Geula. Very big difference. Hashkivenu is not a statement about Geula. What we describe in Hashkivenu is the emotions we were feeling in our heart the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. How so? We were afraid. God was killing out firstborns all over the place. It was scary times. We didn't know for sure that our firstborns weren't going to be killed, so we were davening, Hashem, please protect us. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, paraphrasing another Gemara in Brachas, tzaddikim always have the minhag to be afraid that maybe they didn't have aver and therefore they don't deserve salvation. Who's he referring to? Where does the Gemara say that? By Yaakov Avinu, the Gemara says. Yaakov Baruch Hu promised him, you know, that everything's going to be fine. They have nothing to fear. He's afraid, Shem Yigur Machet. Maybe the promise isn't binding. Ukineged Osa Atfili Eskinu Lomer Ashkivenu Sheyatzleinu Hashem. He called over Rav, Yishmar Tzisenu Voenu. V'kivet Sheyeskinu Lomer Kineged Masha Ayu B'shas HaGula Om Dlaveyav Saka T'kugula Arichta Damya. So you have to keep track. Gula Arichta. What does Gula Arichta mean? So clearly, if you talk about Gula, that could be Gula Arichta. Rabbeinu Yonah's Mechadesh, that Ashkivenu is a new kind of Gula Arichta. It's not about Gula, but it's reminiscent of Gula. It's reminiscent of the themes of Gula. What?
Like any thank you or any I love you type of tefillah would
awesome. No, it was. Look at Ashkivenu, if you read it carefully, sounds like the most desperate plea. I'm terrified, Ribbono Shel Olam. It brings us back to moments of terror, to moments of not knowing what the future holds, to that, you know, to that major turning point, like the moments before Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Egyptians are bearing down on us. So that's what we experience at Gula, both ends of the Gula, both when right before we left Mitzrayim and at Kriyas Yamsuf. He doesn't mention the Kriyas Yamsuf part, but that terror of not, you know, when things are happening and you don't know which way they're going to go. That's what Ashkivenu sounds like. It's really when you. That's why I read it to you before. When you read it, it's really. It sounds like a desperate plea. But I want to focus on over here. Let's go through all the things that might be Geula Arichta and see if they fit into category 1 Geula Arichta, category 2 Geula Arichta, or maybe there's another type of Geula Arichta. For instance, yeah.
Are some of these svaras to justify what we do say, or is it the reason for the Tikkun itself? I mean, we're talking because Geula Arichta. Or we say, no, it's fine to say because...
Yeah, so it probably depends which one, meaning...
I mean, if you're saying it's... Really,
I mean, the truth is, if I was very firm, I would have to answer you that you know, of course, this is the reason they were misakin and they thought of all this before. But Hashkivenu, it seems clear that, you know, the Gemara says it was Gula Richla, that probably was more consciously done. Other things, I don't know. I don't know. Look at the explanations, we'll see. Take a look, for instance, Vishamru on Shabbos, Friday night. Vishamru Nesol Shabbos. What's that doing there? What in the world does Shabbos have to do with Gula or Tefillah? Right? So the Torah says, the Drisha writes, it's Tefillah. Shabbos Monesra is about how special Shabbos is. So Vishamru is about how special Shabbos is. Good, Tefillah Richta, sold. Fine, no problem. Says the Torah, nah, not Tefillah Richta. Vishamru is Gula Richta. What? What does that have to do with Gula? Says the Torah, well, everyone knows the Gemara in Shabbos. El mole shomer Yisrael shtei Shabbosos miad negalin. We get Geula as soon as we're shomer two Shabbosos. So you talk about Shabbos, that's Geula. Is it type 1 Geula? Are we actually talking about Geula? No. Is it type 2 Geula? Are we reminiscing about an emotion we had? Or something we experienced at the time of Geula? No. Apparently there's a third type of Geula Arichta. What's the third type of Geula Arichta? What could bring Geula? Talking about those things that can lead to Geula. Or that are known to lead specifically to Geula. That could be Geula Arichta, Davi.
But yeah. The Torah Svara seems to imply that it's not a din in Shabbos, it's a din every day also. I mean, the Shabbos itself is signifies Geula, therefore it should be an everyday situation, not only a Shabbos din.
Yeah, but you hear why you would say it on Shabbos. You know, it is Shabbos. I didn't quote any source in the sheet about this, but what about like Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar? You know, but things we had in Yom Tovim. Il Mali Shom Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos is good for Shabbos. So Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar, that's good. Right, exactly. That's Gula. Shofar is Gula. Right, and the other ones you just say are Tefillah Richter, right? Those have to be Tefillah Richter, right? I guess you got to say something. Although I think, I seem to remember there's a drisha about Yom Kippur. What do we say in Yom Kippur? What's the Yom Kippur one? Ki v'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem. Oh, it's in here. Oh, okay, good. Thank you. So says the drisha. It would help if I learned my own Mar Makomos, right? says the drisha. Sarachin, Lama no Amrim Burugal, my Dabra Moshe Smarde Hashem, Yom Kippur, Kibyom Zay Chaper, Roshan, Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar, Uprat Shalom Atzinu B'Shum Posek. We don't find it anywhere. Which gets to Perlich's question, right? We don't find it anywhere. None of the Poskim said we're supposed to say this. Whoever printed Machzorim thought it was nice, apparently. The Efshar de Chashvin like Kitfila Arichta, the Kimin Shabbal Haski, Kudush Sayam, Hilk Sankh Haski, called him Lachain Mena Ma'ura. The Yesh Smachlaza. Fine. I remember someone else. I thought I remembered something else. Okay. So he says, it's all Tefillah Arichta. I thought he somehow connected the Yom Kippur one to Geula. I really did. Yeah. No, somebody does. It's maybe in the Prisha, somewhere in the bottom of the Torah. One of the guys on the bottom of the Torah connects it to Geula. Why? Because there is a concept of Geulas HaNefesh and Geulas HaGuf. In the Yetzias Mitzrayim story itself, you look through the themes of the Haggadah, the themes of Pesach, and there's a clear duality in the themes of Pesach. You look through the Nesivus Haggadah, he develops this throughout the Haggadah. And it's clear, it's pashut when you see it. Matzah. But, let me just think of matzah as a good example. The dichotomy of matzah. That Shalom Hispiku B'Tzeikam. I don't know if that's the best example, but there's a clear the Memtes Shari Tuma to the Har Sinai, being mekabel the Torah at Har Sinai, is clearly Gulas HaNefesh. That's not a celebration of that we physically move from one place to the other, and the obvious Gulas HaGuf that we left servitude. There's this dual aspect of Gula. So someone, I think maybe not in the Drisha, maybe in the other side in the Prisha, or maybe someone on the bottom of the Torah. I'm pretty sure. I saw it many years ago, but I'm pretty sure someone says that that's why it's Geula Arichta, because it highlights another element of the Geula. So what type is that? Is it talking about the Geula? Not really. It's talking about Yom Kippur. Is it? What was the second type? Second type of Geula Arichta? Something that, right, reminds us of an emotion of Geula? Yeah, probably. Right? That's probably type 2 Geula. Geula Richter. It reminds us of what we felt at the time of Geula. We felt a spiritual Geula. Okay, we didn't have chance to get into Baruch Hashem Le'ol Amen V'Amen. You take a look at the Maromah Kalmas, you know, you see Tosfos, whatever. That's what to talk about. Baruch Hashem, next week is Monday. We'll start with Tefillah B'Tzibur, and tonight after Marv, we'll do a little Parsha for anyone who's interested.
Or Yontif.